Well, in Paul's reading, we notice among the verses that are addressed to the church at Laodicea that there is a very beautiful, a very heartwarming invitation. I think that is a good way to describe the picture that is presented to us in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. While some of the songs having to do with this very illustration of our Lord's gracious offer to come in and to abide with us, while they frequently picture him as a complete stranger, I think to most of us we would say, well, Jesus really is no stranger. But can you picture that in your own mind? Here we are in our house. Here is a knock that is at the door. And we look out, and there is someone that is a stranger. We do not know them. And when we would open the door, or as we hear the voice speaking, would you let me please come in? I think it would take a very hardened heart to refuse such an offer, such a request. Let me come in. And among all of the pictures that are presented in Scripture, I would say, as you and I dwell on this very thought this morning, and as we will proceed with the lesson, I hope that we will see that this is no stranger at all that is knocking at the door, but that rather this is a familiar friend. Nay, more than that, this is one who we recognize has not already given many gracious gifts to us, but his offer, let me come in and I will abide with you, I will dine with you. Oh, what wonderful blessings are involved in letting the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, into our lives. Two questions have occurred to me at the very outset of such a lesson. Number one, who should let him in? Who should let him in? In the physical sense of the word, I can see how when I hear a stranger knocking at the door, that I would simply turn around and say, would someone please answer the door? Would a servant answer the door? Would the lowliest of those that are in the household open the door? Well, certainly that is not the thought that we are to give. But I think even a more important question then who should open the door is how do we do it? How do we do it? What is involved? Who is it and how is it that we could answer the door at the knock, at the request of Jesus to let him in? Initially, I think that your thought is the same as mine. Because when we read such words as these, we say, well, now then, what Jesus is wanting to do, what he is trying to illustrate here, is here is someone who is not a Christian. Here is someone who yet needs to have Christ in their life. And so then, the response is a positive one. Here is one who has been laden with sin, who is burdened down with all of the cares and the troubles of life, and then comes the gracious invitation. Let me come in. Let me come in to your life. How does such a one go about doing that? We have spoken of those who may reply, I'm not worthy for you to come into my life. I would want you to come in, but I realize that really you would not want to know everything about my life as it is at present. Would you really want to come in and abide with me? And, of course, we answer, first of all, that the way those who have not yet had Christ into their lives and yet would invite him in, that they do this through the simple Bible way of being baptized into him. Now, how do we know that that is the right answer? You know, if you speak to your friends out there in the world, they may tell you, listen, whenever Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, the way that you let him in is simply by prayer. And you say, please, Jesus, come into my life. And we are assured by many who thus teach that if we will pray that Christ will come into our lives, that he will do that. Then someone else may say to us, no, now prayer is not the thing that you need. But if you will make a confession that will say, I'm a sinner, please come into my life, that then automatically that will be the way of it. Does the Bible teach any of those ways? That it is by confessing that we need Christ, or by prayer that he will come in? The Bible teaches that there is an absolute way in which Jesus will enter our lives. Would you look with me just a moment at Galatians, the 3rd chapter, where we are told absolutely how it is that Christ is able to come into our lives. Little different wording here, but we cannot miss it. In verse 26 and 27 of Galatians 3, we read, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How does Christ come into our lives? Well, this faith is indeed essential. It is necessary. But here is one who says, Christ is knocking at the door of my heart. I want to let him in. What are we to do? Well, there is only one way to have Christ in your life. If you will, there is only one way to answer that invitation in order that he may come in. And that is, you have to be baptized in order to put him on. You have to be baptized in order to put him on. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, we read of the words of Jesus saying this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here is one, possibly this morning. And you look back on your past life. You may even say, well, I have accomplished some positive things in my life, and yet here I am facing a new year. And in one sense of the word, as far as my progress, as far as my goal is concerned, really, I'm just kind of wandering around out there. Could you think of a better way for you to begin this year than to say, I want to invite Christ into my life? I want to answer this invitation from heaven by saying, I do believe Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus, will you come into my life? And so, as one is lowered in the waters of baptism, after that very likeness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, do you know what God has promised? He says, as you come up out of that water of baptism, you put on the Lord Jesus. That's the Bible way in order to answer that knock at the door of your heart. Now, I believe all of these things I have said is the truth. So far as you and I are able to determine, there has to come a time in your life, in my life, when I actually invite Jesus in. That has to be the beginning point. From that time onward, we notice that there are still those who need to invite Christ to not only come in, but to abide with them, to stay with them. As far as the context of our passage is concerned, Jesus was addressing those who had already been baptized. He was addressing those who at one time in their lives had had such repentant hearts, had had such a recognition that they needed Christ, that they had said, please come into my life, Lord Jesus. I will be baptized in order that my sins may be washed away and in order that you may abide with me. But we know what had happened to those disciples at Laodicea. And so here the Lord issues an invitation to those who are already Christians. And it is altogether appropriate today that you and I, who have that satisfaction of saying, oh, I remember when I first invited Christ into my life. Now, what am I to do this new year in order to be sure that Christ is with me, and that I am with him, and that he is dining with me, and that he is abiding with me? And I think that we have to say, if you and I, as the children of God, as those who have initially invited him into our lives through baptism, that we say there is yet a further way in which Christ wants to come into my life, and that is, he wants to transform me. There can be no real understanding of the purpose of Jesus wanting to come into your life, into my life, unless we understand that Jesus intends to change our life. To change our lives for the better. To make you and me the kind of men and women that he would have us to be. You think about these different passages of Scripture that are presented in the New Testament that would teach us this very same thing. The Apostle Paul addressed the Corinthians, and he said, be followers of me, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Oh, what a wonderful idea to say, Jesus wants to come into our lives in order that we can follow him, in order that wherever he may lead, we will follow along with him. Well, then the great apostle takes up this very same thing in just different words in 2 Corinthians 5 when he says, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. So those of us who have been baptized, those of us who invite Christ into our lives realize, well, we're starting out completely new. Everything is different. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means new habits. You see, you don't practice the same thing when Christ has been invited into your life. New speech. We spoke of that in our Bible class. New friendships and new goals. Can you go a little further with me just for a moment? You say, Gene, what you are talking about this morning really, really appeals to me. I just like the idea. What is there not to like about the idea of here is Jesus who has come into your mind, into your heart, and he is controlling, he is changing your habits, he is changing your speech patterns, he is changing your determination to have a definite goal in front of you. What is there not to like about that? You say, oh, well, I like everything about it. How do you do it? How do you do it? Well, Paul tells us. Look at Galatians 2 and verse 20. Maybe it's a solution you had not even thought about. But notice what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. Can you picture that? I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I don't know what all you're thinking about whenever you read those words. I have been crucified with Christ. Where does self appear? Where does self appear? And the answer is no place. No place. What do you want to do for yourself this year? What do you want to do? You say, well, I want to buy some new clothes. I need them. I want to get further education. I want to do this. I want to do that. Now, while those things that we think about may have some validity, do you know what they're worth? Do you know what they're worth in the long run? Not a thing. Well, you say, I'm not interested in material possessions, that kind of thing. I want people to love me because I'm such a great person. Do you know where self appears when Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ? What's he telling us? I don't think he can really come in to my life unless I forget every selfish ambition. Some way this year, I have to get rid of self. Some way or other, in order for me to let Christ guide me, in order for him to be all of these things that I've been talking about, be imitators of me. You're a new creature. What a wonderful man Paul was. He wasn't wonderful because he had a great big house on the hillside. He was not wonderful because it was easy for him to be a world citizen, a world traveler. There's nothing that I read about in this crucified life of Paul that speaks of ease. Absolutely nothing. I've become all things to all men, that by all means I may save some. Will you let him in? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That means I initially let him in by being baptized and putting him on. That means I let him in by allowing him to transform my life. Do you know what else? I've got to let him into my house. I've got to let him into my house. How do you think about things? Have you, for instance, segregated, what shall I say, church life from home life? What do visitors really see at your house? What do they really see? Here's someone that comes to your house. What's the first thing they're going to see when you let them in? What do your neighbors hear? This gets kind of sticky, especially if you've got children at home. What do your neighbors hear? You say, I'm a Christian, Gene. Wednesday night and Sundays, my neighbors, they see I leave the house and I've got my Bible and I'm going to Bible study or I'm going to worship. Yeah, but what do they hear at your house? Do you suppose if my neighbor hears me screaming at my spouse, or screaming at children, Or how about children screaming at parents? Do you suppose they're still seeing Christ in your life? Let Jesus into your house. Let Jesus in be seen in your house in what you read this week, in the books that you choose, in the television programs that you watch. Let Jesus in by your having an open Bible. Families that are not too busy to pray together in loving one another and in loving the Lord. The conclusion is an easy one. Will you let Jesus in? Will you let him in if you need to be baptized? Will you let him in to transform your life? Will you let him into your house?